Welcome to Backfence Unhinged, a conversational adult summer camp to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about a greatest wish come true from Emily Hempson. Then comes the second unhinged part. We'll ask Emily some questions about her story and maybe even share a story or two of our own. And who are we?
I'm Andrew Dixon.
And I'm Frayn Masters, and welcome to our show.
How are you, Frayn?
I'm good. I'm very good, Andrew. It's good to be here today.
I love it.
With you and enjoying, you know, some warmer weather. I don't know how it'll be when people are listening to it, but right now we're enjoying some warmer weather.
It might even be hot weather.
It could be hot.
But hey, looking ahead to this fall, I want you to imagine it's Halloween night. You're home. The porch light is on. What candy are you giving out?
Well, you know, this is a riddle because I turn off the light and hide, and so I'm not giving out any candy. But if I were, I mean, I'm a controversial person because I love candy corn, but only Brock's candy corn and only the kind, because it has a touch of honey in it. Mm. Other candy corns are subpar. And I know that candy corn is a very polarizing thing. And also, Andrew, there's only one way to eat candy corn, which is you start with the yellow tip, then you eat the white middle, and then, or actually you start with the orange tip, you eat the white middle, and then what you get...
It's a three-course meal.
Yeah, because what you get when you eat it that way is the bottom part is yellow and looks like a piece of corn.
Oh.
So then you get, that's how you know it's candy corn.
Okay.
How about you, Andrew? The lights are on. And you're probably out there welcoming trick-or-treaters.
I really love that part of it. It starts with the early in the evening, it's the little kids and their parents. And by the end of the night, it's the kids. You're like, how old are you? but fine, take three.
Right.
I'm really in the Almond Joy Mounds family.
Mounds. Wait, yeah. Almond Joy Mounds is the coconut one, right?
They're both, Almond Joy, they're both basically chocolate covered coconut, but then Almond Joy has a big almond, almost like a ring right there on top. And Mounds don't, if you remember the commercial.
Yes.
Almond Joys have nuts. Mounds don't.
And I will tell you that shredded coconut is the bane of my existence.
Don't come to my house on Halloween.
I have a whole story around it that changed everything in my life, but I can't tell that right now.
Okay,
this is not about me.
Maybe I'll welcome on our guest.
I feel like that's good.
My gosh. Emily Hempson is a writer, comedian, and purse candy enthusiast. You can find her most nights trying to get strangers to laugh in bars with at least three video lottery machines ringing in the background. Welcome, Emily.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Emily, what is, you've been specific here with purse candy. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what that specific category means.
You know, I just like to have it on hand at all times. I normally have a bag of gum. I have just gum right now. Maybe some hard candies, but I like to have a bag of gummy bears, maybe some Sour Patch Kids, maybe some Nerds gummy clusters. I'm a little scared of arsenic at the moment. I heard they're in them. There's arsenic in them.
I'm sure there is.
But they're delicious, and I love the texture. And I also want to say you both have terrible choices for Halloween candy.
Wow. Okay.
I'm coming in both hot. Of us.
Wow. What would you give
you
out?
You do not like candy corn or the Almond Joy.
Well, I would say the Almond Joy move is crazy. I actually was very taken aback by that. I didn't know people were actively buying them and they weren't just like in the assortment of the Hershey's candies. Do you know what I mean? Like this is startling. And candy corn is okay, but like never. I like the pumpkins more, but still like top choice, no, I think.
What are you, a Snickers person?
No. Okay. When I'm not a Snickers person.
How dare you?
None of those milk. I don't like any of those milk chocolatey, like crackle. or anything like that.
I mean, yeah, these are deep cuts. Like, people aren't just casually talking about Crackle.
Every year, they're like, around July, they're like, should we change the, is this the year we change the name? Nah, let's let it ride another year.
Yeah, Crackle is crazy. I haven't heard someone just reference that casually. That's insane.
The only time I see it crackle is in those Hershey's bags, which have probably been, they're probably shelf stable for like 50 years. Right. So they're probably still selling off a lot of crackle. And not a lot of crackle, but like a lot, like pallets of crackle.
Right, rubbing up against the special dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
None of it is chocolate, too. That's... It's all chocolate products. Right. Now.
That was, it's chocolate such an old, they had to sell people on dark chocolate. Like, it was such a, like a weird thing. Yeah. Like, what do we call it, special dark? Maybe people will eat it.
Like, is it, if it's special, if it's regular dark, I don't want it.
And it feels like special darks for mom or something.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
definitely for mom.
It's a Mother's Day
salads
thing.
And dark chocolate are for moms. Right. Fun is for everyone else.
Oh, my gosh.
I would give kids Haribo candy. That's where I would go. I'd lean hard into gummy bears. I like a Star Mix.
And you would win.
Yeah, I would because they're incredible. Also, full-size candy. Obviously,
yeah,
but I do just hide from the children, so I don't do any of this. I'm always like, my dog is mean.
Yeah, well, there came a real turn in my neighborhood. There was this one woman who used to she lived on the top of the hill, and she used to own all the land that our houses. It used to be a vineyard that our house was built on, but then it was changed into like, you know, suburban house, broken into suburban house lots, and she used to give the kids whose houses were on her property, she would give them, like, if she recognized you, she'd give you, like, special stuff, like a mason jar full of, like, a really good mix of candy and then also a homemade popcorn ball.
Oh.
But then, like, then she started to forget who I was. And that was a hard moment for me because I just got the fun size.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The last year, my kids went out and they knocked on one of our neighbor's doors and he was clearly stoned, apparently, just from the way they described it. And he's like, oh, sorry, I don't have anything. And they got down, they got back to the sidewalk. He's like, wait, come back. And he gave them each a fully built Lego set.
What?
Like, my kids are there for like, there's like a $50 Lego set.
At least $50.
So it was a wild year.
I was like, kids like these. Like, yeah. Hey, toys.
They're just collecting dust on my shelf.
That's incredible.
And then he woke up the next morning and was like, where the hell are my Lego sets?
Yeah, totally. Well, Emily, are you going to take us back to childhood?
Yeah, I am.
With your story?
All right. Yeah. Let's get in the time machine with Emily.
Get in this time machine. I'm just going to do sound effects. Beep, 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 beep. That's the magic of radio.
Yes.
You just want me to start telling it.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear it.
Okay. When I was like 8 years old, my friend's neighbor, his name was Richie Grether, he loaned her the movie Heavyweights, and it completely changed my life. Yeah.
Wow.
Heavyweights.
Wow, that's saying something.
I know. It's a big deal. It was a huge deal for me. I don't know if you've seen Heavyweights, but it is a movie about sort of a fictional fat camp for young boys. And I was like a kid whose favorite subjects were food and candy at the time. So it just
And also maybe young boys.
Yeah.
Because you were a young girl.
Yes, exactly. So it just like totally... It was everything. I thought it was the greatest place ever. I was just like, this seems incredible. But especially because there were like two really big scenes that were pivotal to me. The first was when the kids get to the fat camp, they're like unpacking all the candy they've snuck in. And they have like sort of like meat sticks, whatever,
Big Jims.
Yes.
Yeah,
or Slim Jims.
Slim Jims.
I was like, yeah, Big Jims.
That's the Costco version.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Big Jims. They had
a West Label version is Big Jims.
So yeah, they had sort of Slim Jims that they were putting in like the poles of the bunk beds and like candy they were slipping under mattresses. And this one guy had this long khaki jacket with like little bags of candy in it. Like he was a watch salesman.
Right. Like sewn into the inside of the jacket,
like,
right?
Sewn into the inside of the
so
jacket.
So he could like flip it open and expose his candies.
Yes.
Amazing.
That sounded I did not mean that to sound like it did just then. I meant it to sound
so
like
exposes candies. Yes. Incredible. And I like that doesn't have a lot to do with the rest of the story, but it was, I think about this jacket like once a week still, you know? I feel like sometimes there are things that you don't see as an adult, but you think you will. And I have yet to discover one, so it's probably up to me to make it happen soon. And then the second is that there's this scene where there's like this big inflatable like pillow in the middle of a lake. And there is a kid.
How big is that?
I would say it's like the size of like a speedboat, two speedboats. Large.
Big pillow.
Wow. Yeah.
Big inflatable pillow floating in the water. And there's a kid sitting on it. And then there's a higher sort of diving board sort of platform above it. And one of the kids jumps off that platform onto this inflatable thing and launches the kid on the inflatable thing into the lake.
Amazing.
Wow. Up in the air.
Up in the air. And
this is a slow motion shot, right?
Exactly. In slow motion. And I watched this scene hundreds of times. I was like, this is the most incredible thing. It's called The Blob. I was like, this is...
Pillow is called The Blob.
The pillow is called The Blob. Yes. The Blob. Okay. The. Make sure you put... You know, it's like, it's not just a blob. It's the blob. Blob.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The Blob.
Ugh. I was so into it. I would watch it all the time, but totally thought it was just something that existed in this movie, like a fictional part of the film.
So can you tell us a little bit about maybe why this moment became... What about this moment do you think resonated with you so much?
Fun. I mean, it looks fun.
Just the fun part of it.
I love
the
water. I liked water slides a lot at the time. I don't know. Just like being launched into the air sounds incredible, you know, like into the water, safe, fun, cool.
Yeah.
It's in slow motion. It looks pretty sweet.
Heroic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't exist, but you wanted it to, the slow motion part was important. It feels like.
Definitely. Slow motion would be pretty sweet. I think about that though, with all things I do in life. Yeah. Like, if you slowed this down.
I'd look amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I'd look so cool.
Okay. Great.
So I loved this, was obsessed with it. And then a few years later, I went on a camping trip with my family. And my dad came back from a morning swim. And he was like, hey, guys, when I was out there, I saw this big sort of like inflatable pillow thing in the water.
And he had no idea that you had this obsession.
No idea. Yeah, because my parents did not pay attention to me at all. They were like, whatever, go watch this movie in your room. But I was like, it's The Blob. You know? It's real. I couldn't believe it was real. I was so excited. It was just like, you know, there are things that you think you'll never get to see. And I was like, I'm going to see this.
It's like seeing Santa Claus grab the cookies.
Exactly. Yeah. But which I have also done. Yeah.
I mean, Emily, what a moment. What a surprising moment for you.
I know.
You.
And like my dad has never delivered.
Offhandedly.
Yeah. My dad's never delivered such good news to me ever since. You know, that was it. That was like a peak moment for me. It was like, Dad, you're amazing. So I was so excited to find this out. And we couldn't like figure out. The internet wasn't what it is now. If it was even anything, it might not have been. But I'm going to pretend I'm younger than I am. So.
Early days of the internet.
Early days of the internet. And so we couldn't like Google it or anything. But we were looking around and we were trying to like figure out what it was connected to. It wasn't open to the public. It was just connected to a camp. And then
a summer camp, just like the movie. It could be another Heavyweights.
Exactly,
thing.
Exactly. But it was not a fat camp for young boys. It was actually a Seventh-day Adventist camp, which is a pretty intense religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very. What are some of the parameters of that religion?
Well, I don't know the parameters of the religion, but I do know if you go to the camp. It's a vegetarian. There is no swearing.
So no Slim or Jims or Big Jims there.
No. Well, you'd sneak them into the fat camp, but you know, they're right. Probably not, unless God has blessed them. I'm guessing that's how religion works.
Sure.
And and only like Christian magazines, books, Christian music. No Britney Spears.
No.
No.
No. Oh.
No Cosmo Girl. And I know that those things weren't allowed because a few years later, I went with my friend when I was in seventh grade to Big Lake Camp so I could go on The Blob.
Oh, this is the Seventh-day Adventist Camp, Big Lake.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was called Big Lake Camp. Yes.
So you...
Great.
You went to this camp
solely for the blob. That was my only desire. And my parents, on the form to fill out, you had to write like what religion you were. And my parents are English. We're not religious at all, even slightly. And on the form, they wrote Church of England. And they were like, that's what you are if they ask. I'm like, why didn't they just leave it blank? Church of England? It's real. Wow. But
yeah, sounds impressive.
Yeah, like they were going to be like, all right, so Church of England, we'll let her in. They're like, Emily
did you sit down with your parents and tell them why you were going to this camp? I mean, did they know that the specific reason is why you wanted to go?
You know what? This is actually, you should ask my parents. I guess they weren't asking me many questions. I was like, I want to go. You know, I'm sure I was like, the blob. Well, yes, because my excitement about the blob really is why I was so determined to go. So they knew.
But they were also excited that you were going to be leaving. Like, my parents sent me to summer camp because it was like, you know, I wanted to be gone from there, and they were like, good, we can have a vacation.
Yes. And I do think religious camps were a little cheaper than a regular camp.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I went to a few different religious camps, but this was the most intense.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you're on your way. You're part of the Church of England.
So part of the Church of England. And I go with one of my best friends at the time, who is just like the skinniest. Oh, by the way, also not a great physical time for me. You know, the fat camp would have been great. Like, it was what I would call my elastic gene phase of my life. My interests were still candy and food. And my friends, like, girls in seventh grade are just, like, either figuring out their bodies or so skinny. You know, like, my friend was just, like, a twig of a person. And this is important. Because we went, and I didn't get to, like, go onto the blob until the second day of camp. We're there for 5 days.
You're like, time is ticking. Yeah, exactly. Like, I need to get on this thing. I'm there.
I thought we'd just go in. It would kind of be, like, immediate.
The initiation.
Like, exactly. This is what I'm here for. You had to sign up for things that were, like, archery, and there was, like, sailing or horseback riding. I was in the sailing group. I was not there for the sailing. I was there for the blob. So it was like, I just would longingly look at the blob in the water while I'm sitting there being like, I don't want to learn sailing. It's very complicated.
Would you try to sail close to the blob?
I mean, I didn't even sail. I would just jump in the water and like paddle around. People were like windsurfing near us. There was like a hot counselor and we were all like, woo, we'll look at him. But then our day finally is there to go on the blob, and I'm like so stoked. I get on first, so I like jump off this platform onto the blob, and I have to like kind of move my body to the end of it so that when the next person comes, they'll launch me into the air.
So this is your moment that you're waiting for here.
This is my moment.
Slow motion launch. And are you just like beside yourself?
I was so excited. Like, you know, when you've just like thought about something so much and you're just like, this is it. Like giddy, but also just like, it's going to be great. Like you have such an expectation for what's coming next.
Oh, yeah. You've romanticized this blob for like 4 years now.
Yeah. It's about to be the best moment of my entire life. And then the person after me, my friend, jumped onto the blob and I didn't even feel it. It didn't even make a difference. I just like sat there.
No.
Not even a ripple on it. Like I was just like, no. Where is the movement?
Oh no.
So they just started sending girls like onto it. So she kind of like shimmied over too. So the next person jumped onto the blob. And we had like 4 or 5 girls just like on it.
But then,
there's
even more people.
Exactly. Now we're all just kind of like there trying to like stay on this like inflatable pillow in the water. And then eventually we all just like slid off the side of it into the water. So yeah, no slow motion hurling through the sky. Just one sad splash into the water.
Wait, how many years was it in between first watching Heavyweights and this movement?
Like 5 years. 5 years of anticipation.
Wow.
I know.
And then nothing. And then how many days into the camp was this?
There's only 2. I had 3 days left.
To not
sail. So you
sail.
Had to do... to did not... anyone, did I you have trouble. To like pray a lot during this?
Yeah.
Or what was your experience?
Well, I did try and listen to Britney Spears on my Discman at the time and was told off for it, like they could hear it through my headphones.
What?
It was crazy. And there were also, this was really weird about the camp, is there were these things called hug lines at the end of like the sort of campfire at the end of the night. And it was, we just stand there and then hug the counselors in different lines.
What?
What?
It's like a very inappropriate right? high-fiving after the game.
Yes.
So weird.
It was so intimate. I was like, wow. And I'm like, my family, we're not huggers. Yeah. So that was even wilder for me. Yeah. And we would also line up in the line with the hot counselor, which feels kind of predatory
right.
For us on our part. Yeah, but I had 3 days left at the camp. I feel like it was really foreshadowing for adulthood.
Just the crushing disappointment.
Yeah.
So, like, what this didn't happen for you. And so what I mean, did you have any, like, 12-year-old reflection on that moment of it not happening the way you'd always imagined it to happen? Like, was there any fallout from it?
I mean, I was just like, this is disappointment. I felt disappointment deep in my bones, you know?
Oh, gosh.
So yeah. Devastating.
I'm remembering when I was probably seven,
uh-huh.
and we were going on this big trip. For the summer, and for summer it was my birthday, and I was into Star Wars figures. And there was this, I just got really obsessed with one figure, and it was not a major, it was like, there's a scene when they like, tell the bounty hunters to go find Han, and it wasn't like, it wasn't Boba Fett, it was just like, it was, when they were making figures, they were going back and be like, there's a character like in the way back, we'll make him into a figure, and I was just obsessed with it. And I think the whole trip was just like, I really wish I had that figure. You know, my parents were just going so crazy. Finally, we like drive all day. We get to this cabin and I'm just like moping at the dinner table. Like, you know, because my birthday's like 2 days away. Like, man, I just really wish I had that one action figure. And my parents were like, fine, go look in the wood stove oven. You know, like the wood. And so I'm like, why? And they're like, just open it up. And I open it up and there it is. There's the, oh, you know, God. They were saving it for my birthday. And I remember opening it and I just had this moment where I was like, I don't really know what to do with this character because he didn't have any lines. He didn't have a role. And it was just this crushing disappointment. Like, this guy's worthless. I didn't know if you imagined it. And oh, I think babe. I had sensed that kind of ruined the day for my parents. And it just
oh my
was
gosh.
Just like so, so disappointing.
That's so upsetting.
Wow. Oh. I have a like a thing that'll loop back to the beginning of this with candy, which is I've always been obsessed with packaging and like book covers. And I used to like trace book covers all the time and draw them freehand and all. Anyways, whatever, packaging is what I'm really going for here. And I had received from a neighbor, and they were these, by the way, Emily, these British neighbors that had moved into our neighborhood, and they gave me this bag of beautifully wrapped lemon drop candies in the shape of lemons. Mm-hmm. And whereas normally I would just like consume candy really quickly, these felt like, I felt like the queen had blessed these candies.
Oof.
And so I ate them very slowly, and I wanted to befriend this one girl in my class because she was really popular. And I wrote her a note, and I will never live this down. I wrote her a note saying to her that I would give her 12 lemon candies if she would be my friend.
That's a pretty big offer.
Yeah, that's a lot of candies.
And all that happened is that she showed everyone the note.
Oh.
And so then, of course, that is the thing. Like, of how many lemon candies is my friendship worth?
Oh, Frank.
And
no,
it's not as sad as it sounds. It's just like, what a weird thing for a kid though to barter, you know, with candy.
But and sure, in your head, it all made sense.
It totally made sense, and I remember like really, that note was beautifully handwritten. By the way, it took
sure
me forever to write it.
I was
really invested in the 12 candies turning my life around friendship wise.
Well, hey, I think it's time for Bree's Hot Minute.
It is
brought to you by Powell's bookstore manager, Bree Hogue. Bree, is actually at home, counting her candy. She's making little graphs of all the candy that she had left from leftover from last Halloween. And she's got some tasty book recommendations based on the themes from Emily's story.
Emily's story had me thinking about obsession and going to great lengths to get what you want. My first pick is A Novel Obsession by Kaitlyn Barash. Naomi is a bookseller who wants to be a writer, and she starts dating Caleb and learns that his ex lives nearby and works in the literary world. She becomes obsessed with Caleb's ex and also thinks that she can turn this into a novel of her own. It's about obsession, unhealthy relationships, and manipulation, and it's a fantastic read. My next pick is Paperbacks from Hell by Grady Hendrix. It's a love letter to old pulp horror books. Hendrix is known for using humor in his horror fiction, and in this book, he does a mini deep dive into older horror books and the transition of the genre over time. It's a fun little micro history of a niche topic, sort of like being obsessed with a water blob and going to great lengths to do some water blobbing. Just know that whatever you're obsessed with, there's probably a book about it somewhere in this world. Back to Frayn and Andrew.
Thank you, Bree. That was
Thank you.
awesome. And Bree just texted me and told me that in today's currency, I would have to offer 500 lemon drops. So
Oh,
that's
yeah.
French. So
It's inflation.
inflation, lemon drop inflation, everyone.
Only fair.
Before we get to our last question, we want to thank everyone for listening. It's really great of you to listen all the way through and help us to grow. And you can further help us to grow by subscribing and commenting and giving us stars and sharing this episode if you so choose. And with that, Emily, what is something most people would consider trivial, but that makes you come a little unglued or a little unhinged?
I mean, part of me is like, will people find this trivial? But when people decide to be like the weird speed police of the road and they go, there's that person and you're like in a rush and they're going like, it's like 25 and they're going like 23 or it's like 35. I'm not just going too fast on like 20s, but they're going like 33 miles an hour. And you're just like, let's just go 40, man. Let's just go 40. Why are you deciding to be the police of the road right now? Why are you in charge? And then I lose my mind. But that feels like everyone agrees with that, right? Except
Sure,
that
sure.
person,
Oh,
right?
sure.
And he's like, that's
Sure,
me.
Emily. Everyone agrees. It's interesting because then you're like, why isn't everyone like me
Yeah.
and want to speed, right? So
Just
then you become the other police of the person who's going slower. I don't know.
So, lastly, Emily, where can people find more about you?
You can find more about me on Instagram at Emily Hempson. I post shows I'm doing and all of that good stuff.
I will
Awesome.
follow.
Perfect.
Right,
Yes.
thank you, Emily. And thank you, Frayn.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
And thank you to our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. Frayn Masters is executive producer. Frayn Masters and myself are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lost Lander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Coworking Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this show at X-Ray FM. Find them online or 91.1 or 107.1. And you can find more information about me, Frayn, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And most of all, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Woo!
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 Yeah!
Ow!